Can we talk about the fact that the game is called Robot on Wheels?
And it's just
Whirl,
one.
And he has one wheel?
Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
My name, well, no.
You'll find out. You'll find out. This is episode 222.
Yes!
Come on, everybody. You've been waiting for this one, Kenny.
I have.
Simply because the numbers look like that?
Uh-huh. It's just a really great number.
Okay. The demo for Final Fantasy VII Remake is out, and you guys aren't letting me play it.
No, you shouldn't play it.
No, you really shouldn't.
Okay, give me a good reason why I shouldn't.
I got like five, seriously.
Yeah, okay. Go.
Just hit me with one.
Because a first experience with a game is best when you can experience the full thing and not just a bite-sized piece that everyone else is getting hype about.
Okay, that's one from you, Kenny. Do you have anything?
Yeah, have you ever eaten potato chips?
You don't have to give me an analogy.
We don't need analogies.
I'm just saying.
Is this a simile?
It's like a simile.
Okay. Well, I have eaten a potato chip. Was that the question?
Yeah, and did you stop just eating one?
No, oh no, I eat a lot of potato chips.
Exactly. Right. You're emotionally a game fatty, and you don't want to just have a tiny little bite. You want to eat all of the game.
But listen,
you're a game fatty?
If there's a chip that's available to me and it's just a single chip or a few chips, I'm still going to eat those chips, and then I'll just eat more chips later.
Are you the guy that would take the last chip out of the bowl?
Yes, he definitely is.
Yeah, or the first.
But he wouldn't say anything. He wouldn't be like, hey, does anyone want this?
Even though everybody wanted it?
Listen, I don't care. I want to experience the real deal. I do. I want to get to the actual game when it releases, play that in all of its glory. But why is this also not the real deal? This is the game.
I mean, part you do of. You. We're not the boss of you, but
no, you
I,
are,
I am the boss of him, and he's not going to play it. I know that this is a good idea.
Okay, well, that's a good reason then. Nolan's your boss, and he said no.
Y'all are my closest friends, and I'm going to listen to your opinion. Really, I don't know for sure, but a big part of me, if I actually thought about it, I do think that I'm not playing it right now because both of you have warned me against it.
Thank you for that. I'm serious.
I think y'all have my best interest at heart, and it's just my glutton eyes that are wanting to feast on it when it's not yet fully prepared. Another analogy.
It's like when you're...
Potato chips.
You're a kid in a candy store and your parents are like, no way, dude. No.
You gotta let it braise for the full 3 hours.
I just listened to Tom's newest, our producer, our podcast editor producer. I listened to Tom's newest episode on Backlog Companion, shout out. And he talked about his experience with the demo. And that's got me excited. I've listened to all of these other people talking about it. And I just... feel like I'm over here watching everybody out on a date. I'm the third wheel in this whole thing.
So go home then and don't be out watching people on dates. That's creepy.
Okay.
Plus you're safer if you're home alone anyways. Coronavirus and stuff.
Kenny, third wheel.
Coronavirus. Well, when I'll probably wait, but when the game comes out, I will play it.
Okay.
And it will rock it. Like in our retro game of the week, Rocket Robot on Wheels.
Overview.
Sprocket Robot on Wheels is...
You can't call it that. You'll get sued.
An N64 3D platformer. It's exclusive to the N64, and for some reason I feel like that's a rare thing. I don't know why I feel that way, but a lot of games at the time, especially platformers, were on maybe both PlayStation.
Not a rare thing.
Not a rare thing. A rare thing is Kenny and I are making the joke together is is GoldenEye, right?
Or something right, yes. like that. Okay, yeah, yeah. So Rare's GoldenEye was exclusive.
We're hilarious. Sometimes
we're so great. Okay. This is an N64 exclusive that I have never heard about in my life. I've never seen the box art, nothing. So I don't know how that slipped past me, but because I was a fanboy of the N64.
Right, but it does seem like a game that you would see at Take One Video or Blockbuster or whatever you went to on South 31st Street or whatever you call it. West Fifth Avenue. It seems like the perfect rental, in my opinion. Like that, and it looks like, the box art looks like something that you would find at one of those stores. I don't know how to explain it other than that.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. It fits the bill for a rental. And I can't explain it further than that. But even still, I never saw it on the shelf on West Fifth Avenue at Video Giant. This game was developed by Sucker Punch, and this was Sucker Punch's first game. This company created Sly Cooper, which was a PlayStation exclusive, which
and
will come up later.
Infamous. Later.
That's like... I think those are the only like major games they've made or franchises. So there's several games in each series, and I've played
two very successful franchises.
Yeah, for sure. Like definitely ones you want under your belt if your list isn't super long. So like I played Infamous. I think I played the most recent one when I got a PlayStation. It was good. So pretty big company. And it was published by another big company, Ubisoft. So you definitely know who that is.
This is prequel to Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, it is.
there's a lot of overlap, really.
There's, well, okay.
No.
It came out in 1999. And you play as the titular, right? Character.
Yeah. Get it, Nolan.
Rocket. Who's just a robot that has one wheel. Kind of like Wall-E. I got a lot of Wall-E vibes from Rocket this week, if you've seen the Disney Pixar movie.
Does Wall-E have just a unicycle thing going on too?
Oh, maybe not.
Can we talk about the fact that game is called Robot on Wheels?
And it's just one
plural, and he has one wheel?
That is problematic.
Somehow, what I'm not world? Surprised that bothers you, Mr. 222. So you play as Rocket, and you're platforming, so... It feels very similar to some of the major 3D platformers, in my opinion. So, like, think maybe Banjo-Kazooie in terms of, like, how you're navigating levels. The plot, very important, as always, in these types of games. The plot is as follows. Dr. Gavin, who I think is a human, you see his hand, leaves for this party... This launch party or night before party for a grand opening of Whoopi World, which
platformers
is
platformers have really good stories typically, by the way.
I like this
story.
Why? It's the night before the opening of the park.
Yeah. Called Whoopi World. Everything goes wrong.
Yeah.
Of course.
It definitely goes wrong because Dr. Gavin leaves Rocket in charge of the lab, of Whoopi World, of where he lives while he's gone. And you have two other characters that also live there. One of them is an animal, a walrus, and the other one is a raccoon named Jojo, who, by the way, was like a prequel or like a hint to Sly Cooper.
It is what Sly Cooper became, yeah, for sure.
Right, cool. Which I think is cool. I like that little bit of lore there. Developer lore. So Jojo is a bad boy, a bad raccoon.
Everybody's
wants to take...
already turned off this episode. But
No, don't turn it off yet. Wait for
we'll
the end of the story.
We'll give you lots of reasons to here shortly.
Jojo the raccoon is sneaky and is really bad and wants to take over Whoopi World and call it Jojo World. So he kidnaps Whoopi the walrus and... Then it's up to Rocket. Oh, yeah. And also Dr. Gavin was like, hey, really, these tickets for the people that are come, you have to take care of them. Of course, they get stolen by Jojo. And now it's up to Rocket to go through different levels and collect these tickets and bring balance to the force.
Gameplay.
All right, so there are a good amount of Nintendo 64 platformers around the same time because Super Mario 64 came out and everybody else was like, we should do it too. And they did, and that's fine. But you only have, like, in my opinion, a subclass of ones that did it really well and were unique, and then you've got all the others. So I'm not saying what the differentiation is there right now, but some of the big N64 platformers that you probably know or have heard of or played: Super Mario 64, Banjo-Kazooie, Donkey Kong 64, Conker's Bad Fur Day, even Mischief Makers. We played that. There's other ones in there as well as, I mean, this is one of them, but this name, I've heard of all of those other ones. I had not even heard of this one before, but it's built and constructed a lot of the same ways. There's a lot of differences, but it's in this one, like some of those others, it's objective based stages where you have to complete certain objectives within a confined space. And in this one, you're winning back tickets that were stolen from you. In other games, you're collecting stars or you're getting puzzle pieces. So it's very comparable to those. And in here, you need a certain amount of those tickets to unlock the next stage, in which you rinse and repeat. Different stage, different requirements or expectations, but that's the layout of Rocket, Sprocket, yep. Robot on wheel.
On wheel. Rocket on wheel. Like a lot of those games as well, this does the somewhat typical like hub world format where you have sort of a central area where you're shooting off to all these different levels and you're unlocking levels progressively. So you do have to play sort of linearly, and that also allows like the unlocking of more skills and features like as the game goes on that's tied to that to also sort of hook into the level design. So I thought that worked relatively well.
In comparing it to some of those other major N64 games like Banjo, did you feel like this one was a collectathon or no? Because I feel like that's always a category of games that it's either like, okay, this is ridiculous, right, or it's like welcomed and kind
of. I feel like we've always said that sort of derogatorily, which is fair because I haven't. Oh, see, I don't prefer that sort
Kenny
of
and
style.
I, yeah. Yeah,
and I don't feel like you are collecting key items and you're like collecting, you know,
it is
sort of your main
item.
Like it is, but it's not overly oppressive on that. It's not the only thing you're doing. You're doing lots of puzzles, you're solving things, and it's not like, was it Banjo that you had to go back and play every level like four different times?
I think it was Donkey Kong 64. You could only do certain things with certain characters. Yeah. The nice thing here is that you can accomplish everything on a given level, I believe, the first time that you're there. And if you come back at any time, all progress has been saved. So you don't have to recollect coins or things that you started on previously. So it is a collectathon. It is, because you're getting those, I almost said puzzle pieces. Like, you can switch out any verbiage here, but you're getting those tickets, you're getting the coins, you're getting the, what are the pieces to that machine, that rocket?
Yeah,
that
you're right. There is a sort of a third one because you're building parts, the machine for each level.
Yeah, so like it is a collectathon for sure. But I agree with Kenny that it doesn't feel as noticeable or punishing as maybe some of the other ones.
When progression itself in a game is locked behind collecting. I think that's risky. Honestly, like looking back, when I was a kid, I didn't think about it because, I mean, I was a little kid and it was a fun game and the characters were fun. But knowing now what I know about like good game design, that seems risky because for a lot of people, I can see that being a turnoff. But yeah, I do agree that, and again, I've always kind of been a fan of those anyways. But here, it felt natural. Like, you're navigating the stages like you normally would. It kind of rewards exploration like a lot of these games do. But like, I never felt like, seriously, I have to go back and get more tickets, because I was just having fun navigating these stages.
And I think part of that's because they didn't overdo it. Like, it was really your three kind of things you were looking for. But part of that was because good level design, where like, if you went in somewhere, you could come out, things looped around, they connected. You were rewarded with stuff for, you know, exploring or getting to the end of something that seemed rewarding anyways. And so I never felt like I was going after stuff. I felt like I was just doing different tasks all the time. And I felt like it was a really good, for the most part, a really good mix of tasks. It wasn't always the same thing. You got cool different vehicles on each of your stages.
Not all of them are cool. Well, one of them's like a hot dog.
One of them's a dolphin.
I mean, don't knock the hot dog.
That is a big component, though, that there's a vehicle, an unlockable vehicle on each stage that can help you traverse the stage more quickly.
Wheels.
Multiple wheels.
Oh, is that's that why it's called
wheels. I don't know. Maybe. Hey,
does the dolphin have wheels?
No.
Okay.
He's a machine, right? He's got like cogs and stuff in his brain.
So one major mechanic. Okay, we haven't really talked about the character, and that's important, but
It is. But I do think that they created... It's one of those games where the environments is what is robust and shines, and the character is the method of showing off the level, I feel. Yeah.
And that was intentional. They even admit that. Like, in interviews, they say, we'd rather you focus on the environment and the level design than Rocket. And that's way different than industry standard, especially then. But anyways, Rocket, though, you are controlling Rocket and you're stuck with his mechanics. One of them, and the reason why this is a prequel to Assassin's Creed, is that tether grab. it might be a prequel to Spider-Man, too. So Rocket has this tether grab.
It's what 3D it is. Bionic Commando.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm thinking that if you want to picture what this mechanic does. But what you do is you send out this tether.
It's like a tractor beam.
It's a beam, yes. It's a beam. And you can attach it to enemies. You can attach it to notable things in the level that they try to make it clear to you that, hey, you should tether from this. And you can swing from it. And you can, like, grab enemies and move enemies. You can grab items and move items if you need to progress in some sort of puzzle. And I don't know. I kind of liked it because there wasn't too much to it. They didn't really try to add a bunch of mechanics. They didn't try to make it go further than that. And I think they made use of it when they needed to. It wasn't like I always had to use this tether thing.
Yeah, it was pretty straightforward mechanically, but like mixed up well. And they did really interesting things again with the level, not so much the mechanic, where you would tether like to things that were moving. And so it became more complex than just like swinging from branch to branch, but you were almost having to sort of puzzle and platform, but on this attached tether. Your robot also can do a basic jump and then eventually can double jump. And then at least early on, tethering is the other sort of main thing. Oh, and you can throw items, which is really cool.
But the best thing is the ground pound. You can eventually... The tractor beam is the main thing, by the way, that you're picking, because Rocket doesn't have arms, and so he's picking up with that tractor beam, but you can do a ground pound where you jump and then slam whatever you're beaming onto the ground. If it's a box or a breakable item or an enemy, it breaks that. But you're using these upgrades. Aren't you spending your coins to get the upgrades? And then you're using the upgrades to be able to get more tickets in future stages.
Yeah. You had to have the ground pound in there. That's in literally all of the games we've named so far.
And double jump, like most of these are. I guess one of the new things here is the ice beam that you eventually get. It's a little bit later, but it can freeze enemies. It can create platforms in water, which is pretty cool. But each of these upgrades that you're getting are so that you can get future tickets and future stages, which is great when it's completely tethered to the unlockables or the objectives, then that's key. And I think that's good design. Can we talk about the physics though? I think that is a huge thing here that they, in my opinion, did exceptionally well, and it is really hard to get these kinds of things right, but their physics engine that they created or worked with here just felt so right for me. And that's really hard with N64, that's really hard with the polygons, it's really hard with the limited capabilities that they had.
It's
really hard with a little one-wheeled robot guy, but I feel like they did it exceptionally well.
The physics engine is very noticeable. Like, you play any of those other N64 games, and it's really, really different. Everything in the game has like its own weight and movement and physics, and it makes it kind of like goes back to what they were trying to do with making the stages shine. Everything in like platforms, you know, when you're like you'd have a platforming section and some of them would be like toppling over and you'd have to like jump off before it goes too far. Like none of that was present in a lot of these other games. And I thought it was very, very well done.
Yeah, it felt good. And they designed around it really well. Like you said, having areas where friction mattered and having areas where gravity and how far you moved and the weight of your character and even like the color level where just something as fundamental as like having colors and then mixing colors and that being meaningful for puzzles. Like they just took really simple kind of universal things and a whole bunch of them and made them kind of the meat and potatoes of how they did their puzzles and their level designs and what you were doing. And it did. It felt really solid, like stable, consistent, and really well thought out. Again, partly because of the diversity, but partly because, I don't know, it was just well executed. You think just about that first level, and you not only build your very own roller coaster, but you get to race, you get to solve puzzles, you get to find hidden items. It's just, there's unlockable areas, there's sort of secret areas that you have to figure out. It's really, really... I don't know. I feel like that's the meat and potatoes of this genre is how good you do your level design. And I feel like they did a really nice job here.
And this is with the N64 controller too, which is not the best controller.
Right. Some people would disagree with that, but you do have pretty good control of the camera. Sometimes with these platformers on the N64, you don't. And you don't have full control, of course, but you for the N64 and platformers in 1999, you have remarkable control of the camera. I felt pretty much most of the time I could see what I needed to see when I needed to see it.
You played with the N64 controller too, didn't you?
Yeah, of course.
It felt good. The C buttons... those were
Kenny,
so weird.
You talked about some of the puzzles. We've been talking about the puzzles as a part of this because this is not just a platformer. It's a puzzle platformer. You're doing puzzles all throughout. Think both of us, all three of us, that's what I meant. What is one of your favorite puzzles that you had to solve, accomplish, beat in your gaming this week?
I already mentioned that I liked the whole level. I liked, I think it was just the second level, the combo of dolphin and some of the interactions you get to do in the water. And then the color elements where you not only got to like match colors, but also like mix colors. That was super fun and like not really complex, but made me feel just sort of clever in really simple ways. So I liked that.
Yeah. I am surprised you didn't say what I'm about to say, Kenny, because you love games inside of games. You like mini games. And this game had a couple where it would like kind of break the platforming mold and you would do a little side section. And so it's not so much a puzzle, but I really liked the amusement park style knock over the cat thing where it told you to like knock down five blue cats.
You had three different like carnival games in that room.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it like shifts the camera's perspective to look at the game like you're playing it. And it was just such a welcome change of pace for me that's definitely a standout.
And it was kind of tutorial there too, because you hadn't used a lot of like thrown items yet.
Yeah.
And so it did a really good job of like saying, hey, this is something you can do, but in a fun way. It was just really well done.
Yeah.
And for me, I don't know if it's my favorite, but one of the things that was most remarkable or different for me that stood out was one we've already mentioned. But you get a chance in the first level, I believe, to build a roller coaster, and you can build it kind of however you want, up or down or loop de loop or whatever you would like. But there are coins, kind of, medallions that you have to get at varying levels around your playing field. And yeah. so you're going to try to win a ticket, you have to get all of those in sequential order. So you have to build the roller coaster the right way, which is already a little bit tough. And then to play it and see if you actually accomplish that, you as Rocket get into the roller coaster and ride the roller coaster in kind of first person mode or second person mode or third, whatever.
Fourth.
And get to watch Rocket or be in the roller coaster seat and ride the roller coaster you just built. That's pretty unique for a platformer puzzle game like
this. It's a prequel to Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Maybe. I feel like Roller Coaster Tycoon did it first, but you know.
Aged.
So they admitted that they wanted you to focus on levels more than the character. And I think that's really significant and strange because, again, Mario, Banjo, and Kazooie.
Everybody wants to, like, merchandise after. Like, they want the famous character Sonic. That will, like, sell future games.
Yes, you need a face. And that worked for many companies, so it's not a bad idea. Most of the characters that or most of the games I love it's mostly because of the characters, but like so Nintendo favored Rare and had a partnership with Rare, like way more than any other company. And they kind of ditched Sucker Punch, and then Sucker Punch went to Sony, PlayStation exclusive for Sly Cooper and some of the others. That's a big deal, and I think the reason that happened is because Nintendo values the characters. Obviously, all their AAA games are big because they have some strange, lovable character. Rare did that for them, and here they were like, no, here's a stupid robot, but look at this cool level.
For as simple as he is, though, I felt like he was kind of charming. I cared about him.
I like him. You're right. He was kind of a silent protagonist, though. Can you call him a protagonist? A silent robotinist. He didn't have much to say or much character, but I did find him a little bit charming, more charming than some of these platforming characters. That being said, I think that this is probably in part why the game wasn't as known or successful.
Exactly.
Yep. Because they didn't have the character that everybody could look at and be like, oh, I know that blue hedgehog, or oh, I know that red hatted plumber. Like
His name's Rocket. That's a normal word. Can confuse that with a rocket.
Like, if they would have gone with Sprocket and given him a little bit more charm, I feel like they would have done so much better for themselves.
Or
they
called it Whoopi World. Because that was the focus of the game. Okay. But, I mean, they're probably like, we shouldn't call it that.
You should call this game Whoopi World.
No, you could. The most boring title, though, Rocket Robot on Wheels. That sounds so bland.
It's descriptive. It's not a character. It's,
It's 100% a fallback. They were going to call him Sprocket, and then they got into a trademark dispute with, like, a gaming company whose name is Sprocket.
Right. That sucks. So that sucks because that's why I think we don't know about it. I really do. And I like the game too, by the way. I think it's a really unique and creative game and a little ahead of its time in terms of physics, in terms of making it about good level design.
Yeah. Yeah. Even with the graphics, I think it looks really good for Nintendo 64. You've got bright popping colors. The character models and designs are good. With N64, as we talk about regularly, sometimes it's really ugly because of the polygons. It's not here. Some of the backgrounds and maybe floor and textures are somewhat bland, but I would imagine that they had to do that so that it wouldn't be at a cost to playing in platforming. You've got to have pretty fluid movement. You can't have this lag and stuff or whatever the right terminology would be. And you don't get that here. And I think in part because they took some hits on a little bit of the graphic front while still making it look good.
Yeah, because they wanted the world to feel alive, and it totally did. And I loved exploring it. I loved going to a new area. Like, I agree with them with what they did, but business decision wise, no, you messed up big time.
Yeah, I do think of all those sort of shortcomings, the one we pointed out that's the most egregious, wow, that was a mouthful, is the naming of the game. Because it's a game that kind of delivers, I think, to some degree better than some of these even other well-known collectathon similar type games. I think people just overlooked it because it just sounds like the worst game you're ever going to play in the world. Speaking literally, even the character being a little bit sort of plain works for it, but like Rocket Robot on Wheels, ugh.
Yeah, speaking of sound.
Speaking of sound, it's a jazzy soundtrack.
Yeah.
No?
I don't love jazz. I don't love, oh, I love jazz soundtracks.
I especially thought it was so
ones
fun.
That loop so incessantly.
Oh, come on.
It's not no, it did bad, loop a lot. It did but loop it's a just, lot. It's... It just gets to, I don't know.
I liked the, it. I thought it
was jazz soundtrack just doesn't do
yeah,
it for
I feel
me.
Like it was well made. Like they put together what they were going for. And some people will like it, but I'm with you. It was too like piano organ heavy for me. It was and just like the same of that all the time. It wasn't bad. I think it's fine music for the game. I just didn't prefer it stylistically.
A bigger mistake than the looping to me, and this goes back to what we've been saying this whole time, it didn't fit with anything. Like, it didn't fit with the world. Thing. It didn't fit with the character. It was just there. It was quality, but, like, what am I doing?
Thank God it was that over carnival music. I feel like that would have been even worse.
And they could have tried to match some of the themes that were a little cheesy, and if they had, it could have been really bad.
But that didn't really... That was just kind of background to me. The only thing really related to age that annoyed me, other than the title, which we've talked about, was just the short draw distance. I don't know if y'all came into that, but you get that with these games. You got that a lot here. The only frustration with me here is that it made it more difficult for me to find certain tickets because I had to get relatively close in certain stages to even be able to see that there was a platform there or to see that there was a ticket there or to, you know, and that of course makes it more difficult. It does encourage more exploration, but some of that's hard when you have to be 3 feet away from something before it actually pops into your screen.
No doubt a performance decision on that.
Yeah, almost certainly. I numerous times was like, I wish my both depth, but even like your field of view, I wish it was just wider. Even that was pretty narrow.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, It felt a little claustrophobic for me wanting to be in this world and go and explore it and find everything. And so both of those things could have been pulled back and it would have felt better for sure.
Definitely. You can get a cartridge for your N64 of Rocket Robot on Wheels. It's red, by the way, which is always cool when it's got a color, for right around $40. But if you want a complete package or a new and unused cartridge, you're going to be spending close to $200. It's somewhat of a collector's item.
I love this like price check we've been doing lately on games. It's kind of fun. Maybe we should do it for all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's expensive, by the way, for this game.
Yeah, don't spend $200 on Sprocket.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. Requires 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. Nolan, would you like to start us?
Sure, I'll provide a third. Look... I know why I haven't heard of this game. I know why you haven't heard of this game. It's unfortunate, but it still exists. And when you hear about it and you actually boot it up, it is a really great 3D platforming experience. It's also an N64 exclusive, and it's very tailored to the console, which I feel like was a really hard thing to do back then. And I respect the company for doing what they did. It's so quality. I had a lot of fun playing it. Like, I can't really name a ton of drawbacks to it in the aging factors. The music, I can understand that critique, but I can easily get past that to enjoy some of the, like, just awesome physics and level design that they gave you. I'm giving it New Game Plus pretty easily, actually, and I did not expect to do that. I think the name sucks, but just find it and play it somehow.
All right, that is one affirmative. That is one vote yes. I'll go and say I think that Rocket Robot on Wheels, it's painful to say the title each time, by the way, because it's so not good. But it's one of the more unique platformers on the Nintendo 64. There are a lot of copy-paste platformers of this genre on this console, but I don't think that this is one of them. I think it is a remarkable first project from a brand new team that goes on to do even bigger and better things. But I felt that it's just lacking something that didn't keep me engaged and doesn't make me want to come back and play it. That's just me. That's my personal opinion. So,
And
I didn't connect with the character, you know? And so there's a few different things there, but that's at least some of the reasons why I don't give it my vote for New Game Plus status, which means, Kenny, unfortunately, you're the deciding factor.
Yeah, this is really unfortunate.
I love when I have all the power. I think you both have totally valid points. Worst name ever. A little bit lacking, like, heart or something to really sort of hook you like on the emotional level. But despite that, I'm more in Nolan's camp. I thought really well-designed levels, not typical, boring, repetitious fare, lots of variety, unique in just their approach and being willing to do kind of out-of-the-box things and sort of a fun theme with all these machines that you're building and vehicles that you get to drive. And not my favorite genre generally, but I found myself having a lot of respect for what went into this game, and I think people ought to know about it. So despite it literally being the worst name ever, New Game Plus.
So you're a Rocket Boy?
Sprocket Boy, trademark.
I'm fine with it. I disagree. I don't think that it deserves New Game Plus status with our other New Game Plus status games. But because it received 2/3 of the vote, Rocket Robot on Wheels is New Game Plus certified. But what did you think? We had many of you write in. Zachary said, 3 in a row. This is actually the first time I've ever played an N64 game, not counting ones ported to other systems like Ocarina of Time. What was Ocarina of Time ported to?
Nothing.
Okay, because I skipped straight from the Super Nintendo to the GameCube. So I fired up the ROM, connected my GameCube controller, and got to work. Immediately, I noticed that the titular character had only one wheel. So he's just Robot on Wheel. Also, no Rocket.
You get it. Oh, and wait, the shoes? No, the double jump.
Well, he didn't have that to begin with, so Zachary said no New Game Plus. That was his comment. Okay. That was his comment.
Okay. I love that.
Is Zach meaning like port it to GameCube? Because, yeah, it's on GameCube. It's on Wii Virtual Console, well, but that's not a port. Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then
that's what he means. Sure. Garlisle, as always, faithful, wrote in, when Super Mario Brothers revolutionized the 2D platformer, countless companies tried mascot platformers of their own, but only a couple significant success stories would become household names. When Super Mario 64 revolutionized the 3D platformer, everyone tried again to pretty much the same results. And there just sure isn't a Rocket 2. In spite of how I just made that sound, though, this really isn't a bad game. The carry and throw mechanics are at least somewhat distinctive, and there's a couple segments on every stage that stand out as genuinely clever and unique. But there's something that just isn't there, and I can't even put my finger on it. Something important is missing that just leaves Rocket feeling, well, robotic, and not in a good way.
Yeah. I wish they would have invested in the character. I think they were annoyed.
The character and the name? Maybe
with
that's
that trend. But, like, you need the character. You want to love the character.
Yeah. I think that's it. Because the mechanics and the physics and the handling and the level design and what they're asking you to do, all of those things
like you
work.
Mean, you remember Ratchet and Clank? Do you remember how funny they were?
Yeah, well, Ratchet and Clank is,
I mean, yeah,
heads above.
But, like, that's what I'm talking about. You need that.
Astral Soul wrote, in a sea of 3D platformers that came in a wave during the late 90s, Rocket does little to stand out, as is the case with most games of the genre back then. Even as a huge fan of platformers and the N64 in general, I will be the first to say there isn't anything too remarkable about this game. If you just want to play the best game in the genre, there are at least a dozen I'd recommend first on the N64 alone. But if you're like me and truly enjoy 3D platformers and have already played all the big name ones to death, you could do a lot worse than this game. It has decent graphics, music, and controls, and the level design is good, but not great. But sometimes slightly above average is enough to make a game enjoyable.
12?
Yeah, I don't know if I could do a dozen. I can do a few.
Yeah, and I think, personal taste, I think this is better than some of the more popular, well-known games. well, again, may lack some of that heart, may lack some of that name recognition, sure. You know, whatever else. Like, I'm not saying across the board, but the game itself, they're certainly better, but there's a lot worse.
And then finally, we have a new friend to NGP just joined Discord this week, whose name in Discord is Jojo, which is raccoon.
Yeah.
And he said, "Hey guys, nice to meet you. Just wanted to start by saying that your podcast is awesome and it's great. It helps me through the busy work week. And I was very happy that you guys were playing Rocket Robot on Wheels this week. This game was such a nostalgia trip for me. I used to play this game for hours on end. And I still do. The concept of collecting tickets by doing wacky things like building roller coasters and playing tic-tac-toe with a chicken in Clowny Island, to riding on magic carpets in Arabian Flights, to painting and throwing sheep on a wall in ancient Greece are very creative and innovative. The developers really didn't have much to work with the controls. They can be a little wonky and platforming may be a little hard, but I hope that you guys love it the way that I do and that it gets NGP status."
Hey, well, first of all, welcome. And
I'm glad
second
that
of all,
Rocket Robot on Wheels could bring you to NGP.
Yeah, me too. That's what's funny about this show that we do. I don't know if we mentioned the developer team was ex-Microsoft employees. I thought that was pretty interesting. They just wanted to make a game. So they're like, all right, cool.
And they succeeded in making a game, but then they continued to make games and make a name for themselves. So
yeah, hats off.
Thank all of you for writing in and sending in your thoughts on the Retro Game of the Week. You can do that each and every week, dear listener, by sending in your thoughts to ngppodcast@gmail.com or joining our Discord and submitting your commentary to the commentary channel there. But for now, we're going to set aside Rocket Robot on Wheels, and we are going to randomly select the next Retro Game of the Week that we'll be playing for the next 7 days from our expansive Retro Master list. What console will it be? What year has it come out? What game are we going to be playing? Let's find out now. We are going to be playing a turn-based strategy game that was originally released for the PC in 1999. So we're not even moving years. We are moving consoles. We're moving genres.
90s era PC has me totally stoked.
Well, I'll tell you this. We won't be able to get it working on our computers.
No,
that's for sure.
Half of the time, that's the case.
I do have a brand new computer, so let's get it popping. We are going to be playing this game. I think we've already played one in the series. Kenny, you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong. Unfortunately, we're going to be playing a game subtitled The Restoration of Aerithia, but it is Heroes of Might and Magic 3.
Oh, Kenny,
you
happy?
No, we have not played...
We haven't played,
maybe it might be same developer, might be same like theoretical big universe, but we played a first person style role playing game. The Might and Magic series is what we've played. Heroes of Might and Magic is real time strategy and totally different.
Well, they're for sure connected.
They might be super loosely, but they're completely different games. And I don't even know if they are like, I don't know if this is 3DO. I'm not sure.
It is by 3DO.
Okay, then same like meta universe, but totally different games.
I'm gonna sit this one out.
But yeah, me too. So Kenny's gonna play along with Kenny this week. Find a copy of Heroes of Might and Magic 3: The Restoration of Aerithia. Stop creating video games with the longest names in the world.
That's fair.
Try to make this work on your computer, probably GOG, maybe Steam. Long time.
I'm sure this one is playable. It was a popular game.
I'm going to let you finish, but if you want to play Restoration of Aerithia with us this week, you can leave your commentary in our Discord channel. If you go to ngppodcast.com and click join us in Discord, you can be like Zachary this week and take part in our amazing community /commentary/show.
We want to say a big thank you to those of you who go above and beyond by not just listening, but supporting the show on an ongoing basis. Especially some new patrons who hopped on the Patreon bandwagon this week. That's Josh, Adam, and Unbedavable, which is a great like game tag. I love that. I wasn't sure I could pronounce it at first, and then I broke it down
first
and I was
try.
Like, oh yeah, no, that's actually great and funny. Probably his name is Dave, but maybe not. That would be Unbedavable.
All right. Yep.
Also, our producer level supporters, Ben, Dear Baby, Garlisle, Corey, Maxima, Shauna, Zach, and Zion, you guys are the best.
Yes, you make the pendulum swing, whatever that means. Follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. All of those links are in the show notes. Listen directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our friend Tom Tate, who had a lot of work to do because of Kenny's dog.
It's true.
Before we sign off, can we have Tom end the episode with that medieval old NGP theme that one of our listeners created for us this week?
That would be fun.
Yes, yes. Someone created an NGP theme from the old one, the Funky Chinese Kitty, whatever song that was that we used, but made it a medieval themed. It's amazing. And I'm going to send it to Tom and you're going to hear it now. Join us next week as we play Heroes of Might and Magic 3 Urethra. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
Nolan.
And this has been New Game Plus.